football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Right then, I finished. Republic of Ireland 1, Slovenia 0 in Páirc Uí this evening. Ireland have basically now missed the opportunity to qualify automatically for League A and now go into a draw for the promotion relegation playoff. And that draw takes place on Friday. The games will be played in October. So it's going to be Austria, Iceland, Denmark or Belgium who Ireland will be playing in that two-legged affair. Pleased to say that former Republic of Ireland player Maeve De Burka is with us on the line to discuss. Maeve, how are you doing?
Good, not too bad now. Just back from Páirc Uí.
It felt like Slovenia were pretty content to sit back and gamble on the fact that Ireland weren't going to be able to score 4 goals. And I think even without seeing how the 90 minutes played out, it was always going to be a smart enough decision to operate in that fashion.
Yeah, I think so. We saw like that a much changed game plan from the Slovenians, happy enough to soak up the Irish pressure, I think. Ireland did well to nullify any kind of attack I think Slovenia had at the same time, but just ultimately I think Ireland weren't probably clinical enough because they had a lot of possession in the Slovenian final third, but just apart from that, obviously Saoirse Noonan and Finnish otherwise weren't able to put the ball in the back of the net.
It still feels that Ireland's greatest threat at scoring a goal is set pieces, crosses, long throws. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. That's how we created a lot of the chances. I think today was definitely, we had a lot of corners, chances from corners and yeah, cross-ins as well, trying to get our head on the end of it too. Some of them, you know, Caruso, I think had a good chance in the second half in particular as well. And yeah, it seems to be the way we're trying to play, I think, or how we're best creating the chances, like you said.
Is that progress under Carla Ward, or is her style of play still coming to fruition? Because it did feel like the last experience in League B, everything was just much easier. Opportunities were being created far easier. And look, I know the stats line says 18 shots tonight, but it didn't feel like there was a whole pile of clear-cut chances, and it didn't really feel like Slovenia were under massive pressure in terms of conceding more than one goal.
No, exactly that. Yeah, I don't know if there's been huge progress in that regard. I know other managers would have kind of put a lot of emphasis on being hard to break down and been really tight at the back. I don't think that same emphasis doesn't seem to be there under Carla Ward. Obviously, we weren't threatened quite as much tonight because Slovenia knew, knew if they didn't, if they conceded up to 3 goals, they were still going to be okay. So they kind of didn't pose that much of a threat going forward, and I think that's been something that had been missing in the other games. And yeah, the creativity up front I think is always an issue, but more so the clinical touch. I think the chances were there, but like you said, just that clinical or that final pass or final effort on goal just wasn't there either.
So Ireland are doing everything right up until a point and are maybe missing that real piece of quality in the final third, or would you say maybe there's a bit of the game plan that's yet to be fully developed?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, she's playing a 4-3-3 and it's a very stagnant one. It's not, there doesn't seem to be much kind of interplay or change of positions. Those players in their roles are sticking to the roles, even the wingers like aren't switching sides or anything like that. So there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of like newness in a way. Like a 4-3-3 is the most, I would say, basic formation in modern football anyway at the moment. Most players know how it operates who are playing at that level anyway. So I don't know how much of maybe there is more to get across as well, because I think, you know, prior to tonight's game, she only had 6 training sessions with the full squad from start to finish of the Nations League. So, you know, she is limited in terms of what she can, how much information she can get across as well in that regard.
How long does it usually take a manager to get all the information across, or when can we expect Carla Ward's work to fully get through to the players?
You'd hope now, I mean, with the opportunity against America, the next 2 games will be against them in friendlies, but I suppose you're not really going to probably have that much possession against them either. So it's going to be a completely different game plan in those games too. So hopefully maybe they'll have some training camps while the Euros are on. I'm not sure. Maybe the players will get a break. But, you know, ahead of those games in October, when you really need to be hitting the ground running, and I don't think really she can take much more time than that to be, like I said, all guns blazing, really.
I think maybe a good barometer for how good a coach is of this team is how well the best players actually play. And it's a question that we have constantly asked over the years about Denise O'Sullivan and Katie McCabe. Are we seeing the best versions of them on the pitch? Have we seen the best versions of them under Carla Ward so far?
Yeah, it's tough to call, I suppose. Yeah, Katie is always the one that because she can play multiple positions, it is one that we talk about, I suppose, more so than Denise is usually operating in centre mid, as long as I've been playing with her anyway. So, yeah, I think Denise, she did really well again tonight, was on the ball a lot, but it's hard then maybe that the kind of players beside her, maybe she isn't linking up as well as maybe in other stages. And yeah, Katie is definitely better suited, I think, on the left side. I know she played, Carla Ward put Katie in as a number 10 for the first half against Slovenia away, and you know that ended up being 3-0 at half time, so that was obviously, maybe that was just one of the factors. But yeah, I think left back or left wing is definitely where I think we're getting the most out of Katie, and she's had a couple of good performances too though in these last two games, I thought.
Yeah, and I think out on the left is where her future lies for this team. It's just unfortunate that experiment in a more central position seems to have been the thing that's cost them in that group. Now, in fairness, if there is a whole pile of learning from this group, a la the Slovenia game, where after the next campaign, Ireland have qualified for the World Cup, and Carla Ward points back to this campaign as a massive moment of growth for the team, she said everybody will be delighted with that. I think we'd all sacrifice promotion to League A for that reason. Do you think that will be the outcome here? Do you think that actually this campaign will stand to this team?
I think it will, in terms of I think it'll stand to us in terms of maybe a playoff to the World Cup or a playoff, even the playoff upcoming now to get back to League A. But when you think about looking back to the Wales, I suppose you don't want to bring it up, but the Wales playoff, Wales themselves for the Euros, they would have been playing against League B ranked teams and similar in rankings to themselves and to ourselves. Whereas we had all of the games prior to that were against the League A opposition, which didn't really set us up in great stead for that playoff. Obviously we played Georgia as well, but they weren't up to the level. So I suppose when you're playing teams around you too, you can develop, I think, and grow as well, because you have a lot of the ball, whereas you're really developing your style of play without the ball when you're playing against those higher ranked teams in League A. But at the same time, it does, like on paper anyway, being back in League A would give us an easier, I'm not going to call it easier because it's still going to be difficult, but a slightly less hard path to the World Cup.
Yeah, like there's that, but then also the flip side to it is the standard of team in League A. I don't know, it feels that maybe Ireland haven't got promoted from League B on this occasion because they're not quite at the same level as they were during their last run at League B. Now, I'm sure Slovenia are better than any team they played in that campaign, but I think some of the performances that Ireland put in the last League B campaign would have been good enough to beat Slovenia twice. And following that logic, having seen the tough campaign that they had in League A last time, might it actually be a fairly humbling experience in League A this time, were they to win this playoff in October?
Yeah, it's that is one way of thinking, and it could be right too. Like if we are, maybe we aren't where we think we are. It's hard because I think our expectations are skewed a little bit by that World Cup in 23, and maybe we think we're still that same team. And you know, even the path to the World Cup, I suppose, looking back as well, we did get a favourable draw along the way too, and that side of it as well. So yeah, it could be daunting going back to League A. It's, I suppose, from a player's perspective, those are the games you want to be playing in too, like not just even, you know, it's the occasions of them too, but having a lot of them, I'm sure, will be back at the Aviva or even down in Porky Cueve, where, you know, they obviously have two wins out of two now, so I'm sure a lot of the Cork people will be I suppose aiming for it to be back again in Porky Cueve. But yeah, otherwise you're playing, you know, lesser ranked teams, and you're playing back in Tala and that type of thing, and it's just a different level too, and exposure, sponsorship, investment, and a whole other kind of spiral of possibilities as well comes with being in League A. But yeah, it could be daunting at the same time.
Just one other question on Katie McCabe tonight. What was the Slovenian treatment of her? It seemed quite physical from what I saw.
Yeah, there was a lot of, we actually just talked about that after the game, there was a lot of kind of off the ball stuff and more, even on the ball, aggression really that hadn't been there maybe, that we hadn't seen in other games. But a lot of it seemed to happen near the dugout of the Slovenian dugout. So there was a lot of kind of, I think, even the Slovenian manager got yellow carded at one stage because I think Katie may have had a little off the ball altercation with one of the Slovenian players. So yeah, there was a lot of over and back, but it was actually quite refreshing almost to see, because that kind of same intensity, I think it was lacking a little bit in the other games. So it was good to see. And it wasn't just Katie involved, and Anna Patton was involved in another incident herself, and Slovenian got yellow carded as well. So there was a lot of kind of feistiness, I suppose, brought to the game tonight.
In terms of the positives for Ireland, it seems Emily Murphy is one of those positives. She's had a very good window.
Yeah, definitely. She got her first senior goal on Friday night against Turkey, and then she got a player of the match performance tonight, and I think it was probably her first 90 minutes that I recall anyway, and she seems to have really pushed on since she joined Newcastle. She'd been in America prior to that, and I think she's kind of settling in now to life, you know, as a professional too, and she's very dynamic, I think, going forward. She was playing on the right wing tonight, but she was back covering back in around the right back area at times, and she was over on the left at another point. She cut in and took a shot, and yeah, she created a lot. She'd probably be slightly disappointed she didn't get in the score sheet, because she did create really good opportunities, and maybe should have really taken one or two of those chances as well, but definitely a player full of promise and one for the future, I think.
And Louise Quinn, the reaction at full time was pretty amazing. I mean, like, we have to look back on this as Louise Quinn being involved in a Republic of Ireland win in her last day. I know it's not the outcome overall that the team would have wanted, but it looked like they managed to appreciate the fact that they did get a 3 points for her final showing.
Yeah, it was really nice for her to be able to just kind of just send her off on a high like that with 3 points and a victory as well. And it's great because she's had such a career. It was really nice to see her end it on the pitch as well. And a lot of us thought she might be thrown in as a centre forward, but she did. Carla put her in at centre back, and it was kind of thrown it back a little bit, because I know she's been out of action with her injury and that. So it was nice for her to be there, and you know, her young family too. They were with her as well, and really nice send off. I obviously played with Louise for years at country level, but I played a year in Sweden with her as well, and so I got to know her a lot. And yeah, she's a real professional, and just a credit to herself and to her family and all the clubs as well. She obviously started out in Ireland and had you know, at the latter end of that, played with Piemont and played the Champions League, and she's really been a great ambassador for the game as well. So yeah, very nice to see her kind of go out on a high anyway.
What do you think's next for Louise Quinn in her life? It feels like she'd be delighted to get involved with coaching in some capacity or stay involved in the game.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I'm not even sure if she knows herself, to be honest, because I think she was asked that question tonight, and she wasn't given any definite answers anyway. But yeah, it'd be a shame for her not to stay around the game, because so much knowledge and that. It would be really good to see her involved in some capacity. I'm not sure if she has taken on any coaching badges or that at the moment. So I don't know if that's an area she'd be involved in or some kind of capacity, hopefully, because she'd definitely bring a lot to any team or any kind of, coaching our team environment, I think.
We have a bit of audio from Carla Ward here talking after the game. Here she is speaking about Louise Quinn.
Look, it's been a really good but emotional few days for everybody. I think everybody knows Quinny's a, you know, a nation sweetheart. She's a legend. She's somebody that everyone admires. So we just had a few words, and she basically just touched on to the next generation that what it's meant to her to wear the shirt is the proudest thing that you can ever do as an Irish person, and make sure that you do not take a single minute for granted, because, you know, she never did. So it was more passing on, and I thought it was an unbelievable message to leave.
It's a broad enough question, Maeve, but to you, what made Louise so special?
It's a tough one, yeah, to know. Like, I've kind of been through it with her almost as there when she made her debut back in 2008, which at times only feels like a couple of years ago, but looking back, obviously so much has changed, and she's kind of, I think, a trailblazer in that regard. She went out and pursued a professional career early on when it wasn't really a sustainable career for a lot of girls at the time, and she stuck with it, and, you know, she was really, I think, just so professional in her approach to everything in her preparation before, after, during games as well. It was really kind of it was great to see, and I think that's what really stood the test of time and made her into such a good player. I think, was, you know, a lot of players, like, although she did have a lot of talent, a lot of players might have had more natural talent even than Louise, but she really, really worked hard, and she made the best of what she had, and she was such a talent. And even, I think, she was fourth maybe on the goal scoring list, I think, for Ireland as well. So she she 15 of her 16 goals came with her head. And yeah, even I remember back in Sweden with Eskilstuna United, we just used to throw it towards the box, and Louise would get her head on most of them. So yeah, but that aside, even off the pitch, she was a great character to have, and a leader around the dressing room as well.
Her debut was a friendly over, and it was a win over Poland in John Highland Park in 2008.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I googled it there just to
Back up. She came on for a few minutes for Nifahi, I think, in that game. If I remember right, it might have been my first start in that game. I can't recall exactly, but yeah, it was, you know, there was probably like maybe 10, 20 players or supporters at the match. I remember the pitch was just, we walked out and there was no, you know, we walked from the dressing rooms onto a gravelly path. I still remember it, like, but you'd still get the same butterflies as you would walking out in the bigger stadiums too. It's still, and Louise said that there is the best shirt you can wear is the Ireland shirt, and she always wore it with such passion and pride. And she left everything out there. That's one thing that you always got with Louise Quinn, was she always gave 100% what she had on the day. And yeah, it served her really well, like I said.
So you were on a journey together, really, starting in a similar place, kind of blazing that trail with regards to being footballers who went abroad, who went to the Swedish league, something that was still fairly novel at that time. So I guess it's a shared journey in many ways, Maeve.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, obviously she went on and played then, you know, in England after that, Italy as well for a brief period too, and then ending up in Birmingham City where she did really well too and was captain of the team. So yeah, it was, like I said, even before I was in Sweden, I was in Norway, and I'd obviously reached out to Louise then about the club, and she had spoke highly of them. She was already there. So then that kind of swayed my decision, I suppose. When I knew Louise was there, I knew that there'd be a welcome for me. And yeah, we live next to each other that year, and we had great crack, like, on and off the pitch, and it was a real community atmosphere over there. And she stayed for years then after that while I came home to play with Galway WFC, so our paths kind of diverged a little bit at that point, but we still obviously were teammates then with the Irish team for many years after that. And yeah, she was really you know, a trailblazer, yeah, like I said. And now she has you know, her son and partner too, so it's a new chapter for her, and I think that probably made her decision a lot easier as well to walk away into that new chapter.
We might have another Carla Ward clip here, speaking after the game.
It's got to be immense pride for the group. I think we asked, you know, after the Turkey game, we made, not just the Turkey game, but we looked across the four games, and out of possession, we wanted to tighten up, we wanted to close the gaps, and that was number one. You know, we wanted to leave everything out there and wanted to make sure that we still play with an aggressive way on the ball and be really attacking in our play, but off the ball, tight, compact, and we did that. And look, we're still building. Like I said, we've had five, which is crazy to say, but through this entire campaign since I've come in, we've had five training sessions with the entire squad. So to be building in the way we're building and to finish the way we did, I said to him then, we couldn't have done any more other than put a couple more goals in. But look, we've got to be proud of that performance. That was an Irish performance.
One last question, Maeve, before we let you go. That draw that's happening on Friday, Austria, Iceland, Denmark, Belgium, like, on the face of it, it looks like a fairly strong opposition, no matter who they draw there. But I presume there are levels to it as well. Is there any team there that you'd like to see Ireland draw?
Probably Austria, I'd say. Well, mainly, I mean, they haven't qualified for this summer's Euros, so you'd hope on paper that they might be one of the teams you'd like to face off against. Iceland still haunts me because we played them in the Euro 2008 playoff and we lost against them over on a frozen pitch in Reykjavik. Right. So that meant that we didn't qualify for the Euros in 2008. So, but I think maybe, I mean, also Reykjavik is a nice place to go to. Maybe they'd like that trip. I don't know. But no, I think Austria, to be honest, if I was picking, would probably be the one you'd want to face there maybe. But they'll be up against it, I think, you know, whoever they get in the draw.
Well, if it is Iceland, we'll make sure to get you back on to a deep dive on that nostalgic moment for you in 2008, Maeve. Listen, thanks a million for your company this evening. Appreciate it.
Cheers, thanks.
Maeve de Burke there on the line. Still plenty more to come this hour. We're going to be chatting to Anthony Nash, who was a coach with the London team that won the Christy Ring Cup on Saturday in Croke Park. And we'll also begin our build-up to the Munster Hurling Final this weekend between Cork and Limerick. Back in a sec.
Football on Off the Ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.